back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is a friend of the program, Mark Graney, and he is out with a brand new novel. It's called Armored. This is a standalone, and it introduces us to a new character. Mark is already on the beat with Hollywood. The Gray Man movie has been released in the theaters. It's now on Netflix, and he's just all over the place. So, Mark, before we talk about Gray Man and all that stuff, let's get into this new novel, Armored, because this is a fantastic novel with a blue-collar character, which is a little bit of a deviation for you.
Yeah, first, thanks for having me back on, Brian. Yeah, this book, Armored, is the start of a new series. It's the first, but there will be more. It's about a guy named Josh Duffy, who is what's sort of known as a high-threat civilian military contractor. He works in high-threat regions, Middle East, wherever, protecting dignitaries and whatnot. But he's injured, in the beginning of the book, he's injured very badly, and he ends up having to take a job as a mall cop to try and keep his family, you know, from having their house foreclosed on him. So he's, you know, down on his luck, but he, at work, just runs into an old contractor buddy that he knew and finds out about this very high-paying job down in the cartel region of Mexico, which sounds like a very, very dangerous job, but he's a desperate man, and so that's what sends him off on this perilous mission.
You know, I always had this very romantic view of the Sierra Madre region of Mexico, and I think it came from Treasure of the Sierra Madre, but, you know, it's a very violent area. You've been there, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, no, I have not been into Sinaloa where this takes place. It's just a really, really no-go zone for a lot of people, you know, that aren't, you know, it would just be very dangerous for me to go. But I spent some time doing research down in Nayarit, which is just south of Sinaloa, and in Jalisco, and I've been to Mexico probably 15 times. I love the country, speak a little Spanish, and you know, did a ton of research about this area called the Devil's Spine, which is the top of the western Sierra Madres. And it is in the heart of Sinaloa, and it is a dangerous area.
When you do your research, you've been all over, Asia, Europe, Mexico, all over North America. Do you ever get the sense that you're being watched by some of the local governments or even the local cartels? Because, you know, you're a tall guy, you're American, and, you know, you're there trying to get information.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I was definitely followed in Moscow once. I have no idea why, but, I mean, it was pretty overt. And then one time I was in Beijing and found some recording equipment in my hotel room and some more recording equipment in a car. It was a hired driver. And you know, that recording equipment, I didn't know if that was to monitor the driver or to monitor, you know, the person he was driving, you know, in China. But, yeah, when I was down in Mexico in this, you know, even though I wasn't in Sinaloa, I was just south of it, and it's very much a civil war there. And I was just down there by my backpack. With my backpack, I'm 6'3", traveling alone with a backpack, and there was a sort of a vibe, just from the civilians, honestly, of who is this guy and what's he doing here, and I was like, okay, I might have come a little too close to the area. I thought I was in the safe part, but I might have come a little too close, but, you know, there's marine roadblocks on the streets, and it's very much a civil war. It's not just crime down there.
One of the things I liked about Armored is the relationship between husband and wife. And, you know, I think this book is every bit about a marriage as it is the adventure part of it. And so when you dig into these and peel the onion skin back on these characters, how much of that, of their story did you have in your mind before you started writing this book to make the characters play off each other?
No, that's a great question. I'm glad you said that. Nicole Duffy, who's Josh's wife, is integral to the story. Duff gets it when he gets on this mission on this motorcade to go through the mountains. He's asked to be a team leader, and although he has a lot of experience as a high threat military contractor, he's never run a team. His wife, however, is a former Army captain, Apache pilot, very much a leader, very much an alpha female. I wanted to portray an alpha female in a positive light because I'm surrounded by alpha females in my personal life, and they're all amazing people. And I wanted that dynamic between husband and wife to be very different from what you see in a lot of sort of action things where she's home wringing her hands while he's out in danger. And in this book, Nicole is thrusting herself into the middle of her husband, you know, the situation her husband is in. And that was fun for me to write.
When you jump into to start a new series like this, and I know that's probably, you're a seasoned enough writer that you can violate this rule, but you never want to think about the series as you start writing a book. You just want to write. But when you jump in, how do you pick the point in the life at which you jump in and we meet that character? Because you have a backstory, but how do you know where the backstory ends and the story for the book begins?
Yeah, it's always tough, but I just learned by reading hundreds and hundreds of novels, mostly in the genre. And I always loved it when a story starts, but they allude to the protagonist's history, and that might be, you know, very relevant to the story or not so relevant, but it's relevant to, you know, creating the character. So I like to, you know, when I wrote this, I wasn't thinking a series. You know, when I wrote Gray Man, even though I'm writing my 12th Gray Man right now, I wasn't thinking series. I was just trying to become a published author. I was thinking one was my goal, and I was happy with that. So it is tough, and you know, you can sort of get yourself in trouble once you go into a series and go, God, why did I say that in book one? That kind of hamstrings things down the road. So it is a little bit of a balance. As I said, Armored will be a series, and I did have an idea for book two, but they actually offered me a 3-book deal, and I was like, you know what, let's stick with two because I know where I'm going, and I don't want to get out over my skis too far.
Is that something that you have to worry about, is getting overextended on a series? And when you sign a 2-book deal versus a 3, you could end it after 2 and be happy with it. Or can you get yourself overextended that, wow, I've got to save stuff for a 3rd book? Or is your creativity such that you could always keep going on a series?
I don't know. I don't think I can always keep going on a series. My agent, when he first became my agent years and years and years ago, he gave me some great advice, and I give it to other people. It is, don't save anything. Put the very best stuff in your book. If it doesn't belong in your book, then yeah, save it. But you know, don't save an action set piece for another book if it'll fit in this one. You know, it's like, let's worry about that down the road. And I've always kind of done that. You know, I've written 22 books and finishing my 23rd right now. So it's harder to come up with new stuff and, you know, make it different and not tread over the same ground. But you know, it's my job, so I do work at it pretty hard.
I'm chatting with Mark Graney about his brand new book, Armored. It is available everywhere. It's a brand new standalone. It's also now the first book in a series with Josh Duffy and The Gray Man now. This is just, I'm so excited about this because I don't watch movies. But I've been reading Gray Man novels for all the years you put them out. And so this is now a movie starring Ryan Gosling. And the book was optioned, right? I think before or either right after it was published. And so it's been optioned for a while. This has been in the works for a while. But how does an option work for a book like that? Did you get it was your first effort, so you get a small amount of money, and then, I mean, how does that option hold over those years for that long?
Yeah, it bounced around. You're absolutely right. It actually was optioned by New Regency, a studio in California, about a month before the book came out. And the book just came out as a mass market paperback, just a little airplane read, and it, you know, didn't have a lot of fanfare or whatever. And you know, my thrill when it was optioned was, yeah, I get a little bit of money, but I get to also go out and say, Hollywood has picked this book up, and that just gave this little release that I had some cachet, and it was my first novel. Never thought anything would happen, but then they wrote a script, and New Regency did, and Brad Pitt signed up to play it, and it got really close, like in 2012 or so, and then that fell apart. The option came back to me, and I talked to a bunch of different people. And at one point I talked to the Russo brothers, and I think Winter Soldier had just come out, but they'd been a fan of the Gray Man books they'd read the Gray Man a couple years before, and they were very interested in it. And I literally hung up the phone after that conference call, called my agent, and I said, these are the guys. You know, I talked to several different, you know, big players out there, and I was like, these are the guys. And it took a while. I mean, that was probably 2014 or so. They've been busy, as we all know, with Avengers movies and everything. But yeah, the deal got done with Netflix. So I really did bounce around for 13 years in Hollywood, but, you know, I had good people in my corner with the Russo brothers, so it all worked out.
When you write thrillers like you do, those words are free. I mean, you can write that a character does anything and you don't have to worry about it. When it transitions to Hollywood, every word costs money because every wind that blows costs money. Every piece of rain, every drop of rain that hits costs money. And so do you notice that when the book transitions to a screen format that things have to be changed just because you can't put it all in because these things would have a $1 billion budget?
Yeah, I don't ever think about that when I'm writing. Like, I can put my character on the moon in one scene, and, you know, like, you know, it's the bottom of the Mariana Trench in the next scene, and I don't have to think about it, but obviously they do. And I read some early screenplays for The Gray Man, and I would talk to the screenwriters, and they'd be like, yeah, we're setting this up for a $50 million budget, but they want to go to 70, so I'm going to rewrite it. I'm like, well, it's fascinating that they can, you know, adjust the screenplay for $20 million or whatever. I would have no idea how to do that. But honestly, the film that the Russos shot, when I watch it, they went bigger in every way, shape, or form than I did in the book. There's a chateau at the end of The Gray Man. It's, you know, a nice big place where the antagonists are. And in the book, it's, you know, it's a big house. In the movie, it is a magnificent castle, which is just outside of Paris. The location is Croatia in the film. But, I mean, it's literally probably 20 times the size of what I wrote. And all throughout the movie, the action set pieces are bigger, and they really did spare no expense. They spent $200 million on the movie, so you can actually see that on the screen.
Did you talk to other writers who've had their books optioned as to how this will affect you? Because it can go one of two ways. It can be a terrible production and people aren't going to ever read you again, or it can be a great production and really boost the amount of readership that you have. And so how does that work as from a writer's standpoint that, you know, I hope it doesn't come out and people hate it?
Yeah, I've been confident for a long time because Joe Russo, you know, I did go out and talk to them before he wrote the script. And he sent me his first script, and when I read his first script, I was like, okay, I'm totally at ease now. These guys understand the story, and they're going to do something good. And then they sent me the shooting script last year, right as they started filming, and it was even better. And then when I saw the film, I got to see it at a screening in New York back in June, and I was just amazed that the actors had elevated the story even above the screenplay, which I thought was really, really good. So I have felt like I'm in good hands, but it would be terrifying to know. There was an iteration of Gray Man that another studio was going to do that I was not on board with. I read the screenplay, and it was a fine screenplay, but it had nothing to do with the book. Like, I don't even know to this day why they would call it The Gray Man, and it was a very, very different story. And it was all well written, and they had great actors involved, but I was just like, this isn't going to help me at all. This version of The Gray Man, I do think, will probably move some books and get me some more readers, so I'm excited about that.
When they send you a script to read, is that more of a courtesy than anything, or are you actually involved in giving input?
It depends on the situation, but in my situation, it was 100% a courtesy. The Russo brothers never had to talk to me again after I optioned, you know, like I gave them the option, but they immediately had me come out to L.A. and spend time with them, and we've gone back and forth, you know, over the years since, and it was a courtesy every time they sent me a script, and a courtesy every time they gave me any heads up of what was going on. But, you know, we've had a great relationship. I just saw them last week at the premiere in L.A. and had a good time chatting with them about everything that's happened over the last 8 years.
Could you live a Hollywood life, or are you a Memphis Memphis guy from birth to death?
I'm 100% a Memphis guy. I was at that L.A. premiere, and as the car was pulling up, I was, you know, it was occurring to me and my wife, we had no idea what was about to happen in 10 seconds. And, you know, everything that's going on there, every time I was interviewed, they were like, how do you feel? And I'm like, I'm the one guy here looking at everything going, what is going on right now? Because I never thought this would be filmed. So I said, I'm just a guy from Memphis, Tennessee that wrote this book at a Starbucks, you know, with a muffin in his hand. And here we are a dozen years later, and there's this big spectacle. So it's a lot of fun. But, yeah, now this is home for me.
Well, it's been so fun watching the arc of your career, and it just keeps going up. The new book is called Armored. It's the newest one by Mark Graney, and it is available everywhere. And The Gray Man is also available now on Netflix. You can go see it in the theater, however you want to see it. It's just fantastic. Mark, it's so fun to read your books, and thanks for joining me and talk about it again.
Thanks again, Brian. I really appreciate it.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.